Revolution. Tell 'em I love 'em. The dry bones have been collected, sinew and muscle reattached, and pilgrims gathered on their behalf. Witness to treasures and wonders so abundant you'd think it was magic. The universe reborn in the heart of each person, the majesty and honor it is to be human, that everywhere you look, God is showing off. The moon, the ocean, children, flowers, the mountains, women. But give credit to the knower whose heart fills all the emptiness ad infinitum and imbues it with value. Tell him you found it, the pearl of great price, and it's even more worthy than you could have ever imagined. Tell him the truth, that these gifts are hard to accept. Redemption is a cosmic process, so ready yourself. Be patient. Tell him it's time. For revolution is the natural progression of celestial bodies like ours, like our earth home. It means evolution towards God consciousness, revolving around the real center of the universe, Christ. Because love is our cause, our purpose, our origin, our desire, our politic, our ethic, our everything. Again and again, resist, rebel, and reform our world. Tell him to speak words of wisdom and truth to power. Give voice to poems, songs, and vows. Lift them up, be bold. And speak by the power of the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit. This is the church. This is the movement. Righteous One, heal the wounds of self-contempt and contempt for God. Call us to a global ceasefire, to an end to violence, and to a beginning to peace wherever possible, starting with us. Bring ease to the pain, giving a break to the well-worn neural pathways of trauma, and allow bodies to rest, to grieve. Teach us and lead us in the ways of self-respect and reverence for the sacredness of all beings and all creation. Help us put an end to the disease and generational curses brought on by white supremacy and internalized racism and all forms of chauvinism. Grant us the gift of discernment as we do what is ours to do in your mission of unity, harmony, and wholeness. Thank you. Amen.
morning coming in your eyes.
Jubilee, Jubilee.
It's shining brighter than the sun in the sky.
Jubilee, Jubilee. I hear the joy bells ringing in your voice. Jubilee, Jubilee.
Oh, yeah.
Your kind of singing cutting through the noise. Jubilee, Jubilee.
Oh, Jubilee.
You're the kind of joy that I need.
It's shining brighter than the sun in the sky.
Jubilee, Jubilee.
The kind of joy that we all need. God's loving community brings that to life for me, and I hope for you too as you hear prayers and music with all of us here at the table today. On behalf of our whole community of faith, welcome to online worship with the table. Today's May 23rd. My name is Linda Duhirsu, and alongside Matt Smith, we serve as the co-pastors to this community of faith. We long to be a community which celebrates God's unconditional love for all, and here at the table, we believe that for God, all truly does mean all. Today is Pentecost Sunday, which is celebrated by the Global Christian Church as a day in which the Holy Spirit was powerfully present among God's people and is still so today. It's also the final Sunday of the series we are calling Revolutionary Intimacy. We have been holding biblical texts from the book of Acts in conversation with the prophetic theological commentary on Acts by the Reverend Dr. Willie James Jennings for the past 5 weeks. We are grateful to have been together over the life of this series, and we hope you too have learned more about Acts than you knew ever existed. If you are curious about learning a little bit more about our community of faith, you can take a really easy next step and text the word new to the number that is there on the screen, or you may go to our website, thetableumc.org, and find a connect pop-up in the bottom right-hand corner. Both of those ways will help us connect with you so that you can learn a little bit more about the table. When you are ready to meet others and wonder about how we share life together, we invite you to consider joining a series that starts this week. Pastor Matt and I teach it together called Growing in Faith. We have just a few more spots, and you would need to sign up today, actually. It runs May 25th through June 29th on Tuesday evenings, 6 to 7:30. If you would like to join us, please go to our website right now, thetableumc.org, and register there. We're going to continue in worship with a song that is meant to help us center ourselves. This is Breathe by The Brilliance.
Breathe, breathe on me now.
now, open your mouth and speak the word that heals this broken ground. Say what you will, show us your will as we breathe in the very breath of God. With your power, Spirit of God, breathe on me now. Open your mouth and speak the word that heals this broken ground. Say what you your will as we breathe in the very breath of God. Oh, Spirit of God, hear with us now, giving us life again. Breathe on us now.
Brothers and fathers, listen to the defense that I now make before you. When they heard him addressing them in Hebrew, they became even more quiet. Then he said, I am a Jew, born in Tarsus, in Cilicia, but brought up in this city at the feet of Gamaliel, educated strictly according to our ancestral law, being zealous for God, just as all of you are today. I persecuted this way up to the point of death by binding both men and women and putting them in prison, as the high priest and the whole council of elders can testify about me. From them I also received letters to the brothers in Damascus, and I went there in order to bind those who were there to bring them back to Jerusalem for punishment. While I was on my way and approaching Damascus, about noon, a great light from heaven suddenly shone about me. I fell to the ground and I heard a voice saying to me, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? I answered, Who are you, Lord? Then he said to me, I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom you are persecuting. Now those who were with me saw the light, but did not hear the voice of the one who was speaking to me. I asked, What am I to do, Lord? The Lord said to me, Get up and go to Damascus, and there you will be told everything that has been assigned to you to do. Since I could not see because of the brightness of that light, those who were with me took my hand and led me to Damascus. A certain Ananias, who was a devout man according to the law and well spoken of by all the Jews living there, came to me, and standing beside me, he said, "Brother Saul, regain your sight." In that very hour I regained my sight and saw him. And then he said, "The God of our ancestors has chosen you to know his will, to see the righteous one, and to hear his own voice, for you will be his witness to all the world of what you have seen and heard. And now, why do you delay? Get up, be baptized, and have your sins washed away, calling on his name." After I had returned to Jerusalem, and while I was praying in the temple, I fell into a trance, and I saw Jesus saying to me, "Hurry and get out of Jerusalem quickly, because they will not accept your testimony about me." And I said, "Lord, they themselves know that in every synagogue I imprisoned and beat those who believed in you. And while the blood of your witness Stephen was shed, I myself standing by, approving, keeping the coats of those who killed him." Then he said to me, "Go, for I will send you far away to the Gentiles." Up to this point, they listened to him, but then they shouted, "Away with such a fellow from the earth, for he should not be allowed to live." And while they were shouting, throwing off their cloaks and tossing dust into the air, the tribune directed that he was to be brought into the barracks and ordered him to be examined by flogging to find out the reason for this outcry against him. But when they had tied him up with thongs, Paul said to the centurion who was standing by, "Is it legal for you to flog a Roman citizen who was uncondemned?" When the centurion heard that, he went to the tribune and said to him, "What are you about to do? This man is a Roman citizen." The tribune came and asked Paul, "Tell me, are you a Roman citizen?" And he said, "Yes." The tribune answered, "It cost me a large sum of money to get my citizenship." Paul said, "But I was born a citizen." Immediately, those who were about to examine him drew back from him. And the tribune also was afraid, for he realized that Paul was a Roman citizen and that he had bound him.
Yeah. Over the last 50 days, we have been holding our lives in conversation with Reverend Dr. Willie James Jennings of Yale Divinity School, his commentary on the book of Acts from the Christian New Testament. Dr. Jennings provocatively opens that commentary. The book of Acts speaks of revolution. We must never forget this. It depicts life in the disrupting presence of the Spirit of God. Pastor Linda and I made the decision to study Acts through the lens of Dr. Jennings because we felt that everything in the church as we'd known it had been so deeply disrupted. We hoped that by looking back together, looking back on how the Spirit guided those early followers of Jesus into letting go of old ways and into stepping into new ways of life together, we hope that this looking back might help us more faithfully discern where the disrupting presence of the Spirit of God might be leading us today as we prepare for what feels like a monumental transition. A transition from being entirely online over these last 14 or so months to gathering as a hybrid community, both in person and virtual. We've received a range of feedback on this worship series. One person shared concern. This person is worried that the progressive political worldview they perceive operating underneath the commentary of Dr. Jennings on Acts, they fear that this worldview might not leave space for others that don't fit in that progressive lens. In contrast, several people have shared with us how this worship series has strengthened their desire to engage with folks that they love across political lines, across political ideologies. One person wrote to us last night, sharing the lyrics to a song that they have been inspired by the Spirit of God to write in response to the conversations they've been having in their kitchen table over these last few weeks. The Spirit of God stirred our music team to collaborate in creating the stunning original piece of music that we just experienced together here in worship. Revolutionary intimacy is stirring some of us to concern, some to confusion, others to inspiration and hope. And I wonder what the experience has been like for you over these 50 days of Easter. We began the season of Easter grappling with Acts 1, wondering about how the old ways of life together in the wake of Jesus' crucifixion and resurrection were giving way to new forms of life. And we wondered about how the Spirit might lead us this day into new forms of life together as well. And then we moved to Acts 4 and reflected upon the arrest of Peter and John. Peter and John, who were stirred by the Spirit of God in their day to disrupt the status quo, and we were invited to wonder about what these criminal disciples might evoke for us today. And then in Acts 5, we were challenged by Dr. Jennings' provocative reading of Ananias and Sapphira, challenged to question the idol that we too often make of the couple in Christian life. And then in Acts 10 and again in Acts 11, we witnessed the disrupting Spirit of God breaking open the boundaries that were seeking to decide who was in and who was out, leading Peter to break bread with those he imagined to be enemy. In Acts 16, we saw the transgressing Spirit's desire to bring people together across difference, difference itself embodied in the in-between identity of Timothy as both Jew and Gentile. We have, needless to say, covered quite a bit over these 6 Sundays. These 6 Sundays have led us to this moment, to this celebration of Pentecost Sunday, and Christian churches are gathering around the world to celebrate what we call Pentecost Sunday, the birth of the Christian church. This is the day on which Christian communities celebrate the Spirit of God descending. And most often, this is how it's told in Acts 2, descending upon the people who are gathered together in one place following the death and the resurrection of Jesus. Dr. Jennings describes the Pentecost story in this way. This famous account from Luke is the epicenter of the revolution. Here is the unfolding moment that will define the drama of the book of Acts. This is the beginning of the miracle of Pentecost, the revolution of the intimate. This is the beginning of a community broken open by the sheer act of God. And we are yet to comprehend the extent to which God acts and is acting to break us open. Indeed, it will be a community created by the Spirit precisely in the breaking open. Now Israel, the new Israel, is turned out by the Spirit. I wonder, I pray that we too might be created by the Spirit today as we are broken open in the weeks of transition which are ahead of us. I wonder if we too might be made new, turned out by the Spirit. The miracle of Pentecost in Acts 2 is most often framed as a story of diverse people being emboldened by the Spirit to, quote, speak other languages. And at the same time, each person having a capacity to hear others in their own native language. Dr. Jennings pushes further, deeper. Instead of simply speaking and hearing in their own native languages, Dr. Jennings calls our attention to a nuance, the nuance of the ways in which the gathered community are said to speak in their mother tongues. Mother tongues. Is any more revolutionary intimacy possible than that of a mother whispering to her newborn? Anything more intimate than our mother tongue? The miracle of Pentecost is not merely the speaking and hearing across difference. The miracle of Pentecost is felt as those who were far removed from their mother tongues, far removed from the swaying, the humming, the rocking of their mamas and their mamas' mamas. The revolution of the Spirit at Pentecost takes all of those people in time and space into the deepest intimacy of the kitchens which shaped and sustained them. The Spirit of revolutionary intimacy doesn't show up in this way each week as we gather in our kitchen tables to watch over one another in love. It doesn't each week, but I can say with the kind of passion and zeal which led Peter to preach the good news that day on Acts 2, that the Spirit of revolutionary intimacy was stirring among us as my kitchen table gathered this last Tuesday evening. And it helps me to wonder if sharing life together in weekly kitchen tables is a way that we break open ourselves to the Spirit here in this community of faith. Dr. Jennings believes that the miracle of Pentecost in Acts 2 points to the revolutionary intimacy that will give birth to a belonging that we will call church. And I hope with every ounce of my being that you will feel that kind of belonging right here in this little church we call the table. And if not here, I hope you will come to know in the depth of your being this sense of belonging that we call church somewhere. Not unlike how the Spirit of God stirred Peter and others into revolutionary intimacy early in the book of Acts, by calling them to break open the boundaries of all they sought to keep out. In the reading that we heard shared today from Acts 22, and this continues all the way through to the end of the book of Acts, we as readers witness Paul's life being disrupted forever. similarly by the Spirit. Fear and zeal had guided Paul to violently oppose the people of God with every ounce of his being, with every breath of his existence. And then on the Damascus Road, the risen one speaks to Paul in ways I imagine echo Acts 2. There, in that vulnerable and intimate space, Paul is spoken into the revolution by the risen one. Dr. Jennings describes it powerfully. Paul's dramatic account would not have sounded utterly strange to his hearers because it outlines the way of the prophet and the operation of the prophetic. But its placement is absolutely unprecedented. Paul's testimony disrupts the connection of violence to zeal and reverses the flow of Jewish faith no longer against Jesus, but toward him, no longer over against his disciples, but with them. Religious zeal has found its righteous home in the body of Jesus and away from the power of violence. Paul is stirred by the Spirit to shift his zealous ways from acting with violence against the people of God toward standing with them in opposition to empire and its violence. This, for Paul, leads to dangerous speech. Speech like Omari sang today, "It's not how I planned it. I won't turn my back on you. I will stand and tell the truth," he sang. And Paul stands. Paul stands to tell the truth, stands to tell the truth to the state. It's an ancient version of the provocative image, the image that you might have noticed of Dr. King and Thug Life just over Omari's shoulder. It echoes the words that Casey sang in that same song, "Join the Hope of the Weak." Brendan and Tim and Hannah and Ben and Natalie, without words, they let their music speak, stirring, evoking, disrupting. This week, our musicians used what was at their disposal to evoke the feelings of dangerous speech. Brendan with his piano, Hannah on guitar, Ben with his bass, Tim with drums, and Natalie with cello. Paul, in his day, stands and uses what is at his own disposal to speak on behalf of the weak. Paul announces to the state, which seeks to repress and oppress, he says, "I am a Roman citizen." A la Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King, Paul presses political privilege in hope of disrupting the violence unleashed by empire upon the people of God. Again, Dr. Jennings says it this way: Paul is a Roman citizen by birth, but at this moment, he has joined the hope of the weak. To turn the law in their favor and draw down the power of the state to harm, the disciple citizen bends the will of the state away from violence and toward the protection of bodies. The dangerous speech of Paul, like it did for Dr. King and so many others, leads to imprisonment. Importantly, even as Paul awaits trial before the emperor, prison does not keep Paul from being a disciple of Jesus. Even there, in jail, Paul continues to practice the radical hospitality embodied by God in Jesus. This is the direction the book of Acts moves towards its close. Paul in prison, inviting the Spirit to stir those with ears to hear into following Jesus. For even in prison, Paul continues to welcome, to be open to others, to invite them to join across difference in the way of life made known through the desire of the Messiah Jesus, the desire of the Messiah Jesus for all to come together across difference as beloved. Dr. Jennings says it this way. The journey of faith, if it is one that follows the Spirit, will be one that draws us toward people who, out of economic necessity, live close to danger and on the edge of physical harm. Dr. Jennings goes on to close his commentary on Acts with these words. It is love for one another that presents the most radical option for communal life that we might envision. What if we lived as though the well-being of those around us, including our surroundings, was as important to us as our own lives? What if, for the first time, I felt the absolute depths of God's love and concern, not only for the one who God has drawn into my life and me into theirs, but also for the place I inhabit, the streets I traverse, the animals I see, and the plants I touch with all my senses every day. For those disciples so willing to be led by the Spirit into radical love, God will create a communal reality that answers back to the groaning of creation with a word of great hope. The children of God are now visible. My deep hope on this day of Pentecost is that our community of faith will be led by the Spirit into radical love. And I'm not sure precisely how the disrupting Spirit will stir you in the weeks ahead, but I find myself seeing glimpses of what it might be to be born anew into the revolutionary intimacy which is God's desire for all of creation. I felt it this very morning out at Table Farm. I showed up preoccupied, worried about 1,000 little things. Avery welcomed us. Nelson guided us. And not long after my hands were washed, my fingers were deep in the soil. Our team was pulling the most beautiful radishes from the earth. Others were harvesting kale and lettuce and peas. Over 309 pounds harvested today alone. Enough for everyone to take home a few bunches of radishes ourselves. Enough for those who will come weekly now to pick up their veggie bundles through the subscription they've purchased. Enough for families experiencing food insecurity to feast on the freshest of produce. Enough for one person from our community of faith who's been out at the farm diligently over this last month to taste a radish for the very first time in their life. It's the same earth which sustained the Nisenan people for millennia, and it's sustaining us into this very day. A few years ago, the land that is now Table Farm was a mostly neglected back section of a schoolyard. Today, in the tending to that soil and the caring for that earth, God seems to be creating a communal reality that answers back to the groaning of the creation with the word of great hope. The children of God are now visible. Reaching in love with others at Table Farm is just one of the ways that I have experienced these glimpses of God inviting us ever deeper into revolutionary intimacy in this day. Last Saturday, we gathered here in the sanctuary for what was a glimpse of the very first time here of a live-streamed hybrid in-person and online worship. We gathered for a memorial for Jane Schlager. Jane is a retired pastor from our community of faith. She's the mom of two really incredible sons. She's the grandma of three amazing, amazing grandkids. Since retirement, Jane and her husband Dave have been part of our community, and she's been a mama to several here in this little community, and she's been a mama to so many other pastors in the United Methodist Church throughout Northern California and Nevada. So we gathered in this space for the very first time to glimpse the revolutionary intimacy, the possibilities of what it could be to be a community that is in person and online at the same time. 61 of us were here in the sanctuary. Most all of us were singing together with others in person for the very first time in almost 14 months. And others were gathering on a new platform that we've been working on for the last few months in partnership with an organization on the East Coast, and we're calling that the table.live. And unlike on Facebook, the intimacy that we can experience here is limited maybe to a personal direct message you can send to someone or to the chat here in this space. In this new platform that we're gonna be unveiling as we shift from pre-recording worship, which we're still gonna do over these next couple weeks, we're hoping as early as June 13th, we'll be ready to live stream from the sanctuary. And when we do, we're gonna make the shift to the table.live. And one of the ways that that revolutionary intimacy might be being born anew among us as we make this transition was glimpsed at that memorial last Saturday as people around the country, really literally all over the globe, were able to tune in to be part of this celebration of God's deep and abiding love for Jane and for the world. To the pastors that tuned in from different parts of California, we're able to sit together on a virtual pew and to experience the memorial from a distance, but with the intimacy of being together with another close colleague. They were able to reflect, much like we do or we've come to learn through Zoom. They were able, through video on a virtual pew, to share their own stories, their stories of how God's love for Jane shaped her and then in turn has shaped them. And we don't know exactly what this will or how this will unfold for our community, but as early as June 13th, we imagine making that shift to be able to offer that same kind of revolutionary intimacy for people to build community, even across vast geographical distance right here through the table.live. And as we do that, we find ourselves in the moment, the disrupting spirit, stirring our own music team to wonder together about taking a few days away this summer for the very first time as a team to do their own songwriting, to create their own original musical compositions that'll come out of our life together here at the table and then shape that life together going forward. Over these last months, we continue to welcome more and more new people, some of them from just down the street and some of them from other parts of the country. We are welcoming them through this six-week series that Pastor Linda and I teach together called Growing in Faith. And then with Penny's help, they're then being welcomed into the revolutionary intimacy that we have come to know as we break open our lives together. Together in this process that we call being in kitchen tables, holding our life in conversation with the great commandment. Reaching in love, worship transitioning from online to both in person and virtual, a music team that's stepping into new ways of being together, kitchen tables continuing as the heartbeat of our community. We heard this week as well that Stephen Starr, along with our administrative board, not only have they finished the incredible remodel of the bathrooms here on our campus to make those ADA accessible and to make sure that we have a beautiful space as we come back to this facility or as we come to this facility, some of you for the very, very first time. We also have received news that we anticipate the city giving us permits to move forward with the kitchen remodel that we've imagined. We still have permits that are being held up in red tape with the city about our dreams for the front courtyard, but that's not holding us back. We've been disrupted for sure in terms of our plans on the front courtyard and lawn, but but we continue to listen, to lean into God's radical love in this moment. And we are doing that with the city hopefully giving us permission over the next couple of months, the permits really over the next couple of weeks, actually, to begin the remodel of our old and dated kitchen, that it will become a beautiful, functioning commercial kitchen and bakery, so that this ministry that we've dreamed about for a few years now, table bread, folks will bake and break artisanal bread. Is there anything more intimate? Is there anything more intimate that God might be calling us to than the baking and breaking of bread in this particular moment? Friends, these are some of the glimpses of how I am feeling myself being born into the new revolutionary intimacy, a belonging that we call church. This is the jubilee that Natalie and Omari sang about, God's jubilee guiding us as we, as we're able to uncover, recover the mother tongues, and to stand alongside the weak in the name of a God who will not let us go. So for that God, and for the Spirit's disrupting presence in our lives, and for the possibilities of the church that we will be planting together in the weeks ahead, we give thanks. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor Matt, for your message. And I want to turn us now to a time of prayer. Mindful right now of how far we have come over the last 14 months. This is a visual prayer from Work of the People, which takes us back and I hope, in a prayerful way, inspires us forward as well. Let us pray. Amen. We are grateful to have spent time with all of you in the book of Acts. We are mindful of the winds of change that are blowing, The Holy Spirit is urging us onward towards new and unknown ministries in which we will love God, love ourselves, and love our neighbors all together. Amen and amen. If you would like to make a gift to help our community of faith align ever more deeply with God's love, we invite you to go to our website, thetableumc.org, and there you'll find a link for online giving in the upper right corner of our website. It's a really simple process to make a one-time gift or set up recurring giving. If you prefer, it's also possible to give by text. Simply text any amount to the number that is there on the screen. We're going to go out this morning propelled by an old hymn which holds within it the tradition of our Black siblings who, having been enslaved, found creative ways through music to lean into God's vital and Holy Spirit. We are grateful for their fortitude in the midst of suffering, and we are bold to sing their song as we too imagine ourselves coming out of the wilderness little by little of pandemic, watching and listening for where God will lead us next. This is our music team's version of the Coco Mamas' Come Out the Wilderness. Go in peace, loving God, loving your neighbor in all that you do. Amen.
Tell me, how did you feel when you
come out the wilderness?
When you
come out the wilderness?
When you
come out the wilderness?
Tell me, how did you feel when you
come out the wilderness?
Oh, leaning
on the Lord.
Oh, I felt like shouting when I
come out the wilderness.
When I
come out the wilderness.
Oh, when I
come out the wilderness.
Oh, I felt like shouting when I
come out the wilderness.
Oh, leaning
on the Lord.
Well, I told everybody when I
come out the wilderness.
Oh, when I
come out the wilderness.
Oh, when I
come out the wilderness.
Yeah, I told everybody when I
come out the wilderness.
Yeah, I'm
leaning on the Lord.
Well, I run and told my father when I
come out the wilderness.
When I
come out the wilderness.
Yeah, when I
come out the wilderness.
Yeah, I run and told my father when I
come out the wilderness. Leaning on the Lord.
Well, I run and told my mother when I
come out the wilderness.
Yeah, when I
come out the wilderness.
When I
come out the wilderness.
Yeah, I run and told my mother when I
come out the wilderness.
Yeah,
leaning on the Lord.
Well, I told everybody when I
come out the wilderness.
Oh, when I
come out the wilderness.
When I
come out the wilderness.
Yeah, I told everybody when I
come out the wilderness.
Yeah,
leaning on the Lord.
I'm leaning on Jesus. Well, I run and told my mother when I
come out the wilderness.
When I
come out the wilderness.
When I
come out the wilderness.
Yeah, I run and told my mother when I
come out the wilderness.
Yeah,